Apparently he knew something of the uniqueness of the Jewish people, and therefore he was impressed by them. And instead of destroying them and subjugating them, he made an arrangement with them. And the arrangement basically was that they would be his loyal vassals, and that they would pay their taxes, but that he would not remove their independence. They would remain autonomous. He would not interfere with their religion. And that as long as they behaved themselves, they could live the same life that they lived under the Persians, which was an enormous concession, because in no other place in the world where Alexander went was he gentle to anyone. That was not part of his makeup. The Jews, out of gratitude to Alexander, did three things. Number one, they agreed that they would name all of the male children born the next year Alexander. And that's how the name Alexander, Sender, became a Jewish name. It also, if you will think about it, opens up the door for other Greek names. And we will see that from the moment Alexander the Great came there to Israel, Jews gave their children Greek names. In fact, in the Mishnah we have Antigonus Ish Socho. That's Antigone. It's a pure Greek name. Rabbi Tarfon, Tryphon. There are hundreds and hundreds of Greek words in the Mishnah. Afikomen. But in the extension of the courtesy to Alexander, the door is open for the Greek language. With the Greek language automatically comes Greek culture. I was in Toronto, so somebody told me that they named their son Jared, because they didn't want him to have a Hebrew name. So I told them, Jared is a Hebrew name. It's in the Bible, Yored. Well, they just, so the guy said, at least it's not Abraham. I said, right, it's not Abraham, right? Jared is not Abraham. But what's in a name, right? You can almost tell the generations by the names given to the children. So Alexander is the truck that brings in a lot of other Greek names and a lot of Greek culture. The second agreement the Jews made was that they would have a system of dating a new calendar based upon Alexander. Now here the Jews cheated a little. Alexander died in 323. Their agreement was that they would start from the year that Alexander died, that would be the year zero. And then they would date so that the Jewish calendar would always be dated from the date of Alexander's death. So really they should have started in the year 323, but they waited 11 years. They started in the year 312. The reason for that is because the year 312 was the 1,000th anniversary of Yetzias Mitzrayim, of the Exodus from Egypt. And when they were going to have a new system of dating, a new calendar, so they wanted it to have not only the non-Jewish connotation of the connection with Alexander the Great, but that it should have a Jewish connotation. And that this system, this calendar, is called Minyan Shtoros, the counting, the date of official documents. All official documents in the Second Temple were dated according to this system. And you have today among many Sephardic Jews throughout the world that the Minyan Shtoros still is used. There are ksubas in an exhibition in the Israel Museum that are dated according to Minyan Shtoros. And that's why you'll see that in our official documents it says that it's in the year 5,745 Libriyas Olam, according to the count of the creation of the world.